وسلم، وهي وحي من الله إليه، كما صح عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم في أحاديث قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا إني أوتيت القرآن ومثله معه. ويقرأ هذه الليلة إن شاء الله حديث العرباض بن سارية السلمي رضي الله عنه، وهو حديث مشهور عده أهل السنة في أصول دينهم. وعلى بركة الله إلى قراءة الحديث، ثم بعد القراءة نستنبط بعض الفوائد حتى لا يضيق الوقت على الجميع. نعم، تفضل القارئ.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وبعد. قال أبو داود السجستاني رحمه الله في سننه في كتاب السنة باب لزوم السنة، قال: حدثنا أحمد بن حنبل قال: حدثنا الوليد بن مسلم قال: حدثنا ثور بن يزيد قال: حدثني خالد بن معدان قال: حدثني عبد الرحمن بن عمر ابن عمرو السلمي وحجر ابن حجر قال: أتينا العرباض بن سارية وهو ممن نزل فيه: ولا على الذين إذا ما أتوك لتحملهم قلت: لا أجد ما أحملكم عليه، فسلمنا وقلنا: أتيناك زائرين عائدين ومقتبسين. فقال العرباض بن سارية: صلى بنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم، ثم أقبل علينا فوعظنا موعظة بليغة ذرفت منها العيون ووجلت منها القلوب. فقال قائل: يا رسول الله، كأن هذه موعظة مودع، فماذا تعهد إلينا؟ فقال: أوصيكم بتقوى الله والسمع والطاعة، وإن عبدا حبشيا فإنه من يعش منكم بعدي فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا، فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء المهديين الراشدين، تمسكوا بها وعضوا عليها بالنواجذ، وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور، فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة.
هذا الحديث فيه فوائد عظيمة اجتماعية ودينية، والاجتماعية منها مبنية على التدين الحسن. الفائدة الأولى حرص التابعين الخيار على أخذ العلم عن أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لما استقر عندهم أنهم هم صفوة الأمة، صفوة هذه الأمة، وأنهم تلقوا الشرع عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مباشرة، فلم يزيدوا عليه فبلغوه كما هو، فلم يزيدوا عليه ولم ينقصوا منه. الترجمة:
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. The Sheikh started by mentioning, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, Sheikh Sheikh Ubaid bin Abdullah Al-Jabiri, that the best thing to mention in the sittings, in the gatherings, is the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, because it was revealed by Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who is the all-wise. And then after that, likewise, the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is revelation, it is wahi, as is established authentically in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, "Utitul Quran," I was given the Quran and the like along with it. He said, in this gathering, we will read the hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this hadith is well known to the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, because Ahlul Sunnah, they consider this to be from their foundations. He said, we will first read the hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah and then mention some of the benefits that are derived from it. And then the brother, he read the hadith that was collected by Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah ta'ala in the book Kitab al-Sunnah, the book of Sunnah, in the chapter, the Bab Luzum al-Jama'ah, clinging to the congregation. And the hadith, it mentions that some of the tabi'un, Abdurrahman ibn Amr and Hujr ibn Hujr, they came to Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah radiallahu ta'ala an. And Al-Irbad, he was the one that the verse was revealed about, nor is there blame on those who came to you to be provided with mounts, and when you said, "I can find no mounts for you," they turned back while their eyes overflowing with tears of grief. Al-Ayah. The hadith, it continues. So they came to Al-Irbad radiallahu ta'ala an, and they said, "We come to you." They came to him and they gave the salams, and they said to him, "We came to you, Zairin, to visit you and to also get some benefit from you." So Al-Irbad, he said radiallahu ta'ala an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prayed with us and on one day, and then he turned to us, أقبل علينا, and he admonished us with a powerful admonition which made the eyes shed tears and the hearts, they trembled. So somebody said, "O Messenger of Allah, it is as if this is a farewell sermon. Fawsina, so what do you advise us?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Usikum bi taqwallah," I advise you to fear Allah and to hear and obey the ruler, even if it is an Ethiopian slave. For verily, the one who lives long from amongst you will see great differing. So it is upon you to stick to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. Hold unto it with your molar teeth. And beware of newly invented matters in the religion. For every newly invented matter in the religion is an innovation of bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance. And the Shaykh, he said, the first benefit, Faidatul Ula, to be derived from this hadith is that the hirs, the dedication that the tabi'een, the students of the companions, they had to seek knowledge from the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it was established, istaqarra indahum, meaning with the tabi'een, that the companions were the best of this nation. As the companions, they learned the religion directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they conveyed it exactly as they learned it. They did not add to it, nor did they leave any omissions. Tafadhal mashkuran, jazakumullah khair.
Al-fa'idatu al-thaniya, qasd al-ulama, khususan akabir ahli zaman minhum. ترون أن ابن مسعود أن عبد الرحمن بن عمر وصاحبه قصد العرباض بن سارية رضي الله عنه لما يعلمون ما عنده من العلم والفقه في الدين. قال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه: لا يزال الناس صالحين متماسكين ما أتاهم العلم عن أصحاب محمد وأكابرهم، فإذا أتاهم العلم عن أصاغرهم هلكوا، والأصاغر هم الجهلة والمبتدعة أهل الهوى. نعم.
نعم. So the Sheikh حفظه الله تعالى, he continued, he said the second benefit is the qasd, referring to the scholars, especially the akabir, the elders of that particular era. Do you not see how Abdurrahman ibn Amr and his companion Sahib, that they came to Al-Irbad ibn Sari radiallahu ta'ala an, because of the knowledge that he possessed? As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, he said that the people will not cease to be righteous and upright as long as they take knowledge from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the akabir, the elders. But if they take from the lowly ones, and the Shaykh, he said the lowly ones is referring to the ignoramuses and the people of bid'ah, ahlul bid'ah, and likewise the ignoramuses, the juhal. If they take from the lowly ones, then they would be destroyed. Now tafadhal ya Shaykh, jazakumullah khair.
Al-fa'idah الثالثة التنبيه إلى سنية عيادة المريض, يعني زيارته. وفي عيادة المريض والترغيب فيها أحاديث كثيرة, منها قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم حق المسلم على المسلم ست, إذا لقيته فسلم عليه, وإذا استنصحك فانصح, وإذا مرض فعده. الحديث. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أصبح اليوم صائما, قال أبو بكر أنا, قال من أطعم اليوم جائعا, قال أبو بكر أنا, قال من عاد اليوم مريضا, قال أبو بكر أنا, قال من تبع اليوم جنازة, قال أبو بكر أنا, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والذي نفسي بيده ما اجتمعنا لأحد إلا أدخله الله الجنة. فهنيئا للصديق رضي الله عنه وأرضاه, فهو خير هذه الأمة بعد نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذه الأربع تمت له في يوم واحد, مع أنها نادرة, يندر اجتماعها جدا, فهي من مناقبه العظيمة الجمة. وترجم. نعم.
So the Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى, he said the third benefit as mentioned in this hadith, that these two individuals from the Tabi'een, they came to visit Irbad while he was sick as well. So this points out that it is legislated to visit the sick. And this has been established in many ahadith. And the Shaykh, he quoted some of the ahadith from them. The hadith when the Prophet ﷺ, he said, the right of a Muslim upon the Muslim is six. When he meets him, he gives him the salams. If he had asked you for nasiha advice, then you give him nasiha advice. And when he becomes sick, you visit him, the hadith, to the rest of the hadith. The Shaykh, he said, the second hadith is upon the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, who from amongst you is fasting today? Abu Bakr, he said, me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who from amongst you fed a poor person? Abu Bakr, he said, me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, who visited a sick person today? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, he said, me. Prophet ﷺ, he said, who followed and prayed the funeral prayer? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, he said, me. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, none of these things are gathered for one person in a day except that for them is paradise. So a great reward is in store for a Siddiq, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, who is the best of this nation after the prophets and messengers. As all of these things, he fulfilled them in one day, which is something that is very rare. And this is from the manaqib, the virtues of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. تفضل يا شيخ
خير. هذه الرابعة.
الرابعة يا شيخ.
الخامسة.
لا الرابعة.
الرابعة في قول العرباضي رضي الله عنه: وعظنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم موعظة بليغة وجلت منها القلوب وذرفت لها العيون. السؤال هنا: كيف كان وعظ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليعلم كل مسلم ومسلمة أن وعظه صلى الله عليه وسلم يتضمن أولاً ترغيب الناس في صالح الأعمال، وأعظمها توحيده سبحانه وتعالى، ثم سائر العبادات، مفروضات مثل الصلوات الخمس والزكاة وصيام رمضان والحج، أعني حج الفريضة، وصوا بر الوالدين وصلة الأرحام، حتى يستعد الناس للقاء الله يوم القيامة وهو راض عنه. كما أنها تشتمل على تخويف الناس من معاصي الله سبحانه وتعالى، وأعظمها الشرك بالله، ثم سائر المعاصي ومنها البدع والسرقة والزنا والربا وعقوق الوالدين وقطيعة الرحم. فمن أخذ بهذا، فمن كانت مواعظه على هذا فهو مقتد برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنه لم يكن نبي قبلي إلا كان حقا عليه أن يدل أمته على خير ما يعلمه لهم، وأن ينذرهم شر ما يعلمه لهم. الحديث. وليست مواعظه صلى الله عليه وسلم قصص وحكايات، بل مواعظه هي نصوص، وداعية الحق والبصيرة الذي اتبع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واقتدى به في وعظه يبتعد عن القصص والحكايات والأحاديث الموضوعة والضعيفة. أما الجهال وأهل الهوى فبضاعتهم قصص وحكايات وأحاديث موضوعة وضعيفة إلى غير ذلك من الأمور التي لا تربي الناس على ما أراده الله سبحانه وتعالى ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، حتى يلقوا الله راض عنهم وهم راضون عنه. وترجم.
So the Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى, he continued, he said that the fourth benefit, الفائدة الرابعة, is the saying of Al-Irbad ibn Sariya رضي الله تعالى عنه, that the Prophet ﷺ, he gave a powerful admonition which caused the eyes to shed tears and the hearts to tremble. So the question the Shaykh, he said, that arises here is that how was the maw'idha of the Prophet ﷺ so that every Muslim male and likewise Muslim female may know how the admonition of the Prophet ﷺ was. The Shaykh, he said, the admonition of the Prophet ﷺ, it contained a targhib, encouragement to perform righteous deeds. And the greatest of righteous deeds is a tawheed. And then after that, all of the righteous acts of worship. Firstly, at the head of them, the obligations, like the five daily prayers. fasting, as zakat, hajj, meaning hajj al-fariidha, the obligatory hajj. And the rest are the obligations like respecting the parents and keeping family ties and so on and so forth. This is in order for the people to prepare so that they, when they meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jalla is radin anhum, is pleased with them. Likewise, the admonition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it contained what? A tarheeb, which was to frighten and scare the people. Scare the people away from disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the greatest act of disobedience is a shirk. And after that, the rest of the major sins such as fornication, stealing, disrespecting the parents, breaking the family ties, and so on and so forth. So whoever's admonition is like this and contains this, these two things, then they are following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the way that he gave admonition. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, this comes in the authentic hadith, that there was never a prophet before me except that it was upon him to direct his nation for that which was good for them and to warn them away from that which was bad for them. His admonition, the admonition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was not qasas of stories or hikayat, just mentioning events. No. His admonition was nusus, texts. So the caller of truth, who is upon knowledge, who follows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the way that he would deliver admonitions, he stays away from qasas, just mentioning stories and, you know, events that took place. And likewise, he stays away from mentioning a hadith which are mawdu'ah, fabricated, and likewise a hadith that which are da'ifa, which are weak. He stays away from these things. As for the people of bid'ah, innovation and ahwa, desires, then you find in their admonitions that they mention stories and fabricated a hadith, and other than this, which does not raise the people and culture the people upon that which Allah Azza wa Jal wants, nor that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he wants. Now, tafadhal Shaykh, jazakallahu khair.
الفائدة الخامسة والأخيرة ملخص ما أفاده أو ملخص وصاياه صلى الله عليه وسلم وحاصل وصاياه أولا الوصية بتقوى الله وهي عبادته سبحانه وتعالى وحده الثانية السمع والطاعة لمن ولي أمر المسلمين منهم على ما فيه سواء كان برا أو فاجرا وها هنا سؤال كثير من الدول دول أمريكا وأوروبا والهند ولاة الأمر فيها والحكام فيها كفار فماذا نصنع معهم نطيعهم فيما هو طاعة لله ولا نعرض أنفسنا لأذاهم ونحسن ونظهر محاسن الإسلام من حسن الجوار وصدق الوعد وصدق الحديث وإنجاز الوعد والوفاء بالعهد وصيانة الجار في نفسه وماله وعرضه وأداء الأمانة إلى غير ذلك من محاسن الإسلام ثالثا الحظ على لزوم السنة ورابعا التحذير من البدع فإن البدع إن كانت مكفرة فهي ردة عن دين الله وإن كانت مفسقة نقص بها الإيمان ونهاية أمر المبتدع السيف القتل يقتل من خالف قال بعض السلف ما ابتدع الرجل بدعة إلا استحل السيف وآخر ما تضمنته وصاياه صلى الله عليه وسلم لزوم هدي الخلفاء الأربعة سماهم الراشدين المهديين لأن هديهم هو هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبهذا القدر نكتفي من شرح هذا الحديث، وقد اختصرناه اختصارا حتى لا يطول الوقت. نعم، وإلى الترجمة، ثم بعد ذلك إلى ما تيسر من الأسئلة.
جزاكم الله خير. So the Sheikh حفظه الله تعالى continued, he said, and the fifth and final benefit is a summary of the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith, it comprises of a number of things. The first is al-wasiyya, the advice to fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, which is to worship Him alone subhanahu wa ta'ala without associating any partners. And to fear Him, Allah azza wa jalla, as He deserves to be feared. The second is to listen and obey the Muslim rulers. The Muslim rulers, whether they are righteous or whether they are sinful. He said the next benefit, and he said there's a question here that arises. In many countries, like for example America and India and countries in Europe, the leaders are disbelievers. So what is the position here? He said the rulers in these situations are to be obeyed in that which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has allowed, made lawful. And the Muslim does not put himself in a predicament to harm them, to counter them with any harm. And also the Muslims should show the excellence of Al-Islam, the mahasin of Al-Islam, such as a sidq, truthfulness and keeping one's promise, and likewise fulfilling one's trusts, and also protecting the neighbors, it pertains to his heritage, his honor, and likewise his wealth, and the like of these things, which are from the virtues, the great virtues of Al-Islam, the mahasin of Al-Islam. The next piece of admonition that the advice that the Prophet ﷺ he mentioned in this hadith was to encourage the people to stick to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next piece of advice was a warning against innovation, to stay far away from innovation in the religion. And if the innovation is mukaffirah, then it takes the person outside the fold of Al-Islam. It exits them from the fold of Al-Islam. And if it is mufassiqah, meaning it doesn't take outside the fold of Al-Islam, it still decreases al-iman, faith. And all innovations, the end result of all innovations is that they, and innovators, is that they resort to the sword. As some of the salaf they mention, no one ever innovated an innovation in the religion illa istahalla sayf, except that they deemed the sword to be permissible, meaning to kill Muslims. He said the last piece of innovation, the last piece of afwan advice that is contained in this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to stick to the way of the rightly guided khulafa. And he described them as being rightly guided, as their way is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Shaykh, he said, this is a summary of the benefits that were contained in this hadith. He said, and I summarized them as so that time is not elongated. Naam, jazakumullah khair.
أقول للمزيد بارك الله فيكم شرحنا المفصل أظن في دروس في المسجد أو في دورة جدة ناسي الآن، ترجمه أخونا عبد الإله وهو موجود في أمريكا، ويدلكم على هذا أبو محمد والأخ حسن، يدلونكم على مكان، يدلونك على المكتبات التي يباع فيها. والآن بارك الله فيكم لعرض ما تيسر من الأسئلة. حتى
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك فيكم وجزاكم الله خيرا.
وإياكم السلام.
فضيلة الوالد، هذه بعض الأسئلة أخذناها من الإخوة. يقول السائل: زوجته مريضة بالسرطان ولا تستطيع القيام ولا مغادرة السرير، كيف تتوضأ للصلاة؟ A person says his wife is sick, she has cancer. She cannot walk or stand up, so much so she cannot leave the bed. How can she perform wudu for the prayer?
أولا إن وجد من يعينها على الوضوء قبلت ذلك وتوضأت، وهذا أفضل. وثانيا إذا لم يوجد من يعينها على الوضوء، يوضع عندها تراب نظيف أو حجارة نظيفة تتيمم منها لكل صلاة. نعم.
The Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala says, first of all, if she has someone to assist her and help her to perform the wudu, that's what it should be done, and this is better. If it's not the case, then she will have beside her some pure dirt, and she will use it as a tayammum for every salah. أحسن الله إليكم.
لا لا إن شاء الله إذا وضع عندها الحجارة النظيفة تتيمم بيديها ما فيها شيء إن شاء الله.
يقول السائل: كيف التعامل مع الوالدين الغير المسلمين؟
أعطهما البر بالمعروف واهدي إليهما، وإن كانا فقيرين خصص لهما النفقة، أنفق عليهما، إذا كانا كافرين أنفق عليهما مما رزقك الله عز وجل، وأظهر لهما محاسن الإسلام واجتهد في نصحهما لعل الله عز وجل يهديهما. ونحن نقول: اللهم اهدي والديه، اللهم اهدي والديه، اللهم توفهما على الإسلام.
The question was, how can I deal with my parents who are non-Muslim? The Sheikh says, be nice to them as legislated for you. Give them, for example, gifts. If they are poor, your parents are poor, spend on them from your wealth that Allah has given you. Give them from your wealth. And with all that, they should see in you the beauty of Islam in the way you treat them. Learn how a Muslim should treat his non-Muslim parents. And give them advice, sincere advice, that Allah to, so that they can know about Islam. And then the Sheikh, he says, you make dua, he said, we ask Allah to guide your parents to Islam, we ask Allah to guide your parents to Islam, and they die upon Islam. أحسن الله إليكم وبارك فيكم. يقول السائل: ما هي الطريقة المثلى شيخنا للاعتناء بالشباب خاص في بلاد الغرب حتى لا يضيعوا؟ What is the best way to take good care of the youth in the West so that we don't lose them to the streets and the like?
ربطهما بأهل العلم المعروفين بالفقه في دين الله والنصح للأمة على وفق الكتاب والسنة وسيرة السلف الصالح، وربطهم بالصالحين في بلادهم، وجلبهم إلى المساجد وحضور أقول جذبهم إلى المساجد وحضور حلقات العلم التي تعقد في بلادهم. نعم.
الشيخ تعالى says, connect them to the people of knowledge, those who are known with their sound understanding of their religion, and those who they are sincere for the ummah and they give sincere advice to the ummah in accordance to that which is in the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon the understanding of Salaf al-Saleh, the righteous predecessors. Likewise, connect them to the righteous youth in their areas. If you know some righteous youth, try to connect them with them. Try to make beautiful for them the masajid and bring them to the circles of knowledge that are taken in place in the masajid. أحسن الله إليكم شيخنا. يقول: كيف ندعو أهلنا وأقاربنا إلى التوحيد وما هو واجبنا نحوهم؟
How
can we call and give da'wah to our family members and the likes to tawheed? And what is our obligation and duty towards them?
كما قال الله تعالى: ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة. والحكمة وضع الشيء في موضعه. ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة، رغبهم في التوحيد وخوفه من الشرك وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. عليك بلين الخطاب والتحبب إليهم ولا تأتيهم بالعنف والقوة، أظهر لهم أنك تحب هدايتهم وتحب لهم حسن العاقبة. نعم
الشيخ تعالى. He says, you call them as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us in the Quran, precisely in Surah An-Nahl. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that which means in English, call to the way of your Lord with wisdom. The Shaykh says, the wisdom, as you know, is to put the places in their proper, the things in their proper places, and with the fine admonition. Meaning that you talk to them about Tawheed first. You call them Tawheed, but in a nice way, conducive to them, that they can be able to understand. Likewise, when you talk to Shirk, that you're going to mention it in a way that they should be afraid of the Shirk, that this is something very bad and the like. With all this, you have to be nice to them. Because Allah says, بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, in the best manner. He says, the way you address your parents, even though they're not Muslims, you have to be lenient, gentle, nice, kind. You have to be good to them in a way that they love you and they feel comfortable around you. Don't come to them in a rough way and be stern upon them. Rather, they should see from you first that you really love their guidance for them, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to die upon Islam and a good end. السؤال الخامس شيخنا يقول لا يوجد مسجد سلفي في منطقتنا فنصلي الجمعة في مسجد من مساجد أهل البدع حيث تكون الخطب غالبا عبارة عن قصص وأحاديث موضوعة وطعن في العلماء السلفيين وخاصة في المملكة السعودية من غمز ولمز إلى غير ذلك، فهل ننصت لهذا الخطيب أم نغلق آذاننا؟ أنصحونا بارك الله فيكم. The person said there is no masjid salafi in our area, so therefore we find ourselves going to perform Jumu'ah in one of the masajid of the people of innovation, in which most of these sermons and khutab are about stories that are and fabricated and weak and narrations, and those khutabah sometimes they abuse and insult and speak ill about our scholars, and especially in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Should we listen to this person, or should we close our ears? نعم شيخ.
أقول هذا كثير ليس في منطقتك. فعله يوجد حتى عندنا في المدينة. أو خارج المدينة. نعم، كون الخطيب يغمز ويهمز في أهل العلم الفضلاء هذا ليس بغريب، وما دام الأمر كما ذكرت أقول لك أولا صلوا معه وأبغضوا صنيعه هذا بقلوبكم، بل أبغضوا هو في قلوبكم، وثانيا هذا وسعكم، يعني الصلاة معه، ولا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. نعم.
The Sheikh says, this what you just mentioned, this question, it is not only in your area. This is found in many places. It may be even here in Medina, or in the outskirts of Medina, this city of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that some of the people who give sermons on Friday, they speak ill, وَلَيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, about the noble scholars. This is not something that is strange or new. He says, so therefore I say to you as advice, pray in there. If that's the only place, you pray, but you should hate what they say and what they do with your heart. You should hate it. Of course you hate it. He says, and then number two, you do what you can. Allah does not burden a soul beyond its scope. No.
بارك الله فيكم حياكم الله ونكتفي بهذا القدر وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
طيب إخوان الشيخ